Next talk is about invasive species, how we detect them, identify them, and the impacts on U.S. agriculture. The challenges in detecting invasive species are listed here. Many is mostly the world trade volume, which is growing rapidly. The cost of invasive species is also very important. In addition, inspections at ports of entry, and we are going to talk about the bottlenecks in the system and how we deal with them. Agriculture is the largest industry on the planet. It employs about $1.3 billion, little transposing there, and it produces about $1.3 trillion worth of goods. In 1950, farmers produced about $420 billion, and they received about 33% of that production cost. In 2028, it's expected to reach $10 trillion, but the farmers will only receive about 10% of that. And that's due to the cost of production and fewer farmers. U.S. currently is the number one exporter in the world, and they also produce enough to feed the U.S. When you talk about the trade, I have a few numbers here for you to see. $152 billion was imported-exported in 2007. Currently, we're about $200 billion, a 32% increase from 2007. That's growing rapidly. If you look at the trade from 1935 to 2010, you can see that we kind of just stayed about standard up until about the 1970s, when all of a sudden we started having a boom of export and import, and we have steadily increased over those years. If we take a look in this last 5 years, which is shown in this next graph, you can see that we are continually growing, even during an economic loss and an economic hardship. If you think about the cost of invasive species, it's right around the same amount as we produce, as we export per year. That's saying an awful lot. $140 billion is what we spend on invasive species. And that's due to crop loss because of damage and diseases, cost of containment, the introduction of biological controls that we bring in order to take out invasive species, mechanical control, and pesticide applications. This last part, the pesticides, we want to take a look at the production of pesticides in the world. In 2001, it was about $9 billion. The U.S. contributed about $3 billion of that, 28% of the world total. If you look at the average U.S. pesticide production, we produce about 9.3 and we import another billion, making it a total supply of $10.3 billion. Along with pesticides, we also have resistance. Are we creating superbugs? How does that impact our interceptions, our first time interception, reintroduction, or host jumping, as we see with the new Diabrotica virgifera biotype, which has changed from corn to cucumber? A few of the invasive species that are in the news today are Asian citrus psyllid, along with its bacterial disease that it transmits, HLB, the Asian longhorn beetle, emerald ash borer, cactus moth, and the Diabrotica virgifera, as we talked about earlier. The United States imports through two major land borders, which are shown by the white bars, and two major maritime borders, which are shown by the blue bars. They also import in all of our international airports, which are represented by stars. Not all of those airports are represented, but those are also pathways for invasive species. I'm showing you a graph of the total number of interceptions over the last 5 years. And you can see that we are continually growing. One of the things I do want to point out here is the year 2009 with the asterisk is significant. That's why you have a big jump between 2008 and 2009. Prior years to 2009, the interceptions were sent in with a paper document that was handwritten to identifiers. And it was up to the identifiers to either add them into the database or not, dependent upon its quarantine significance. those that, up until that time, the data was only done by the identifiers. Currently, as of 2009, all of the ports of entry have become data entry online databases, so they actually enter every single interception that they receive. That's why you see a jump between 2008 and 2009, but you can also see between 2009 and 2010 that the numbers still are increasing. We look at interceptions in many different ways. The first way is through pathways of interception. We look at baggage, cargo, mail, maritime in two different kinds, and miscellaneous. I've taken the number of reportable interceptions only to add to this pathway graph. And reportable interceptions are very important. Those are the ones that are a pest of quarantine concern, not significance, but of concern. So we highlight those, and we look at the numbers as well in pathways. And you can see here that the two major pathways for interceptions are cargo and baggage. We also look at the interceptions by type of pest. So we want to see what types of pests are more prolific as far as interceptions are concerned. Here are representations of diseases, insects, mites, mollusks, nematodes, and weeds. And this is the graph of reportable interceptions along the types of pests that we intercept across the United States. As you can see, this is a very appropriate slide for the Entomology Society of America. Insects are our number one interception. Detecting pests at our ports of entry are very important, and they're also a very daunting task. If you look at this, detecting pests in airport cargo can be very, very daunting. First of all, it's perishable cargo for the most part. It has to be processed very quickly. It has to be refrigerated and stored until that can be processed. So we sit and we look through lots of cargo dependent upon the type of cargo, looking for pests. Also, looking at commercial cargo that comes across our land borders and maritime as well, there are lots and lots of cargo that come across, and I know that we can't look at everything, but when we do look at a portion of everything that comes through for the most part, unless there's some reason that they've had a quarantine interaction with USDA and meet our needs prior to arriving. These are photos of detecting pests in baggage, also at our ports of entry, private vehicles that are coming into the country, just as if you would come across in an airplane, you drive across our borders, you have to go through some sort of inspection if you're requested. We have found quite a few things in baggage as well. If you think about everything that comes into this country and how much we can inspect, this is where our bottlenecks start to show up. In 2005, we had 2,000 agricultural inspectors working for Customs and Border Protection. At that time, we had about 79,000 interceptions. In 2010, those numbers have grown by 400, and 400 represents the number of ag specialists that work across our Mexican border. Unfortunately, our interceptions have increased by 160%. That's a huge, daunting task if you're thinking about how much you have to inspect, how much you have to detect, and what commodities and pathways you have to look at. So I've shown on the right sort of a comic strip, if you will, of the areas where most of all the imports go through a large funnel, and some things are inspected by the inspectors, and they detect interceptions. Those interceptions fall into another funnel cup, which comes to USDA for identification and pest risk assessment. That brings me to the identifiers at ports of entry. Those identifiers have to look at those interceptions, identify them, and then make evaluations or send them up to National Identification Services and Agricultural Research Services for evaluation. In 1995, 45 identifiers were present in the United States. In 2010, we're at 85 identifiers. That's 89% increase. Along the Mexican border, we have grown much faster than elsewhere in the states. Where one identifier was present, we now have one or two identifiers. That's a 100 to 200% increase along our Mexican border. We want to talk again about pesticides, which I discussed about the world production. Now I want to talk about treatments. If you take the number of reportable treatments, which was reportable interceptions was right around 80,000, and you take only those that were associated with cargo, you have about 50,000 interceptions. And that was in 2009. In 2009, there were roughly 15,000 treatments made on cargo. That includes condition of entry. In other words, they cannot enter unless they are treated. Those are treatments based on pest significance with quarantine significance. So in other words, they were considered an actionable pest, and the commodity was treated to rid of that pest. The last one is a little bit different. This is a broker decision, a grower and broker decision. If they come to the port, they have an interception, they have to wait for an identification. It may be on a Friday night, it may be on a holiday weekend. And that time for that decision-making process is taking a couple of days. So in lieu of that decision and a final identification, they can opt to have a treatment. So that is the inclusion of all treatments that are done on cargo for 2009. Cooperation between agencies is essential in order to meet the PPQ mission and safeguard American agriculture. We want to become efficient as inspections, and we want to have timely identifications. We also want to maintain our commerce across our borders and through our imports. And we want to prevent invasive species. And in order to do that, we have to talk about training. Training workshops across identifiers will train each other on their specialty, which is also extremely important. We will also try to communicate with POEs about pest risk pathways, about pests that we've intercepted that may be common in areas along the Mexican border or along Canadian borders or from the same origin. So a lot of communication goes on between identifiers across the United States. We also conduct a lot of training for our ag specialists who are working as the inspectors at our cargo facilities and our baggage facilities. So we conduct a lot of training. We have programs that we go out to the docks and we work with them and look at different pathways and ways to detect these things and insects and pests. And we continue that on a regular basis across the United States. We also do outreach training. I know that in Nogales alone, we have Indian reservation students who come to us and ask us about invasive species. We try to teach high school students as well as college level students about invasive species, the way that we detect and the importance of identifying them. Many of the identifiers conduct their own research on their own time, but they also build identification tools that can be used by other identifiers. And those are available to us through what we call an identifier's website. In addition to tools that we use amongst ourselves, we also provide training modules for agricultural specialists at the docks and at airports and at maritime that will help them in detection and identification. Today, I have given you just the overview of the symposium through this presentation. The presentations that will be coming after this will be in more detail about some of these things that we talked about, and I hope that you enjoy the sessions. Thank you.